The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Do it to me, Mr. Cotillo.
From a Toya paper moon, sailing under a cardboard sky, but I wouldn't be make believe of you believed in me. Or it's love, love, love. Or it's a honky tonk parade. Or it's love, love, love. Or it's a melody played at a penny arcade for the environment, baby. Well, just as funny as it can be, but I wouldn't be make believe of you believed in me.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep moving, moving, moving. Through there is a proving. Keep them doggies moving wide. Don't try to understand them. Just rope them, throw them, grab them. Sooner we'll be living high and wide. My heart's calculating. My true love be waiting. Waiting at the end of my ride. I'm moving, head them up, move them on, head them up, wide. Let them out, ride them in, let them out, ride them in, for high.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Cotillo.
Scholars, they talk like, ooh, and English people say, literally. Literally. I was literally at the pub and I had literally had a pint in my hand and I literally left. You didn't have to say literally that many times. You say literally too much. Before I was coming over, I was back in New York and I met these girls. They were from Ireland. And I said, oh, you're from Ireland? That's cool because I'm going to the UK in a couple months. And apparently, Ireland isn't a part of the UK because of some crazy stuff that happened a while ago. I guess I got it mistaken with Northern Ireland, which is an honest mistake, I think. And what would have been nice if those girls said, hey, there's a crazy history between the UK and Ireland. It's a very sensitive subject for that. The UK and Ireland, we're not cool like that. We don't like being associated with the UK, so you should know that. That would have been nice. And I would say, thank you for telling me that. Instead, what these girls said, what the crack, you dumbass American? Now, because I decided I don't want to talk with you. You keep on talking to me. You're raping my eardrums, and I feel very threatened. No means no. I got a teenage cousin. I don't like him at all. I think he's a bad person and a piece of shit, and I hope he doesn't get into college. He's a horrible person. If one of you was kicking his ass right here on this stage, I'd let you get 10 more hits in before I stopped you. Hey! Hey! Hey, what's going on here? Hey! Hey! What's happening? Hey! Hey! Get off my cousin! He always talks trash about my comedy. Hey, Hannibal, we were watching your stand-up on Yalta. It wasn't funny, man. So I have to figure out what can I say back to this 17-year-old boy, because I'm not letting this slide. I'm very petty. I have to destroy him. And I figured it out, and I just accused him of masturbating, because teenagers can't handle. No, I wasn't jacking off, Hannibal! Why would you say that? I do not jack off. I will never jack off. Get out of here! My hotel room, she starts throwing up the drinks that I bought all over my room. It was very upset, and it was like she was throwing up my money on my money. Very upsetting on so many levels. Really not that many levels. People overuse that saying. It was messed up on so many levels, man. Oh, for real? Please name every level. Well, metaphysical, level 3, Eye level, sea level? Shut up, man. Fuck your struggle. Stop being dramatic.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Cotola.
And listening on so many levels.
Night. Philosophical entertainment. If you consider it that relevant, irreverence, and that's what anti-couple surfers, netaholics, and infomaniacs say. Tell them about it, will you?
冰球到冰球，小川到大市，啊，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心。 是 Cthulhu Chronicles.
From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello. Hey there, when's the last time you heard that? Well, it's summer. Y2K plus 14. I thought we should remind everyone that the third man is here. There's you, there's me, and there's a third man overlooking everything. Oh, nothing spiritual, nothing mystical. It's the third man. Perhaps I am him. Perhaps I've schismed into me and him, him and I. But more so than that, it's summer Y2K plus 14. And it's just you and me on this particular July night or morning or whenever you're listening. Around the world, through the time zones, over the international dateline and the national dateline itself. With me, Frank Cotola, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, Neo-Postmodernist. You sunburnt sicklemen, come hither from the furrow and be merry. Dance through it. That's all you gotta do is just dance through it. You think it's late? Wake up, it's night. You think it's late? It's later than you think. Follow the bouncing ball for the entire show. Stay with us on your iPhones, your Androids, and your galaxies. We're going to take a deep look into this world of internet. Your internet, my internet, our internet. With me, Frank Cotola. Grapes. Every time I hear this, I think of grapes on a vine.
and mulberries that I have all over my garden. I am the third man, there's no doubt about it. Somewhere between the beginning and the end, I'm here. Absolutely, entirely, and invitingly. I couldn't think of a third one. Isn't that a shame? It's a shame when the brain works like that. Because this is total neo-postmodernism. And once again, last night I was describing, as I have so many times, except a different way. Once in a while, I describe things different ways. I've often talked about how my subconscious, without thinking, my subconscious, all of our subconscious is just, it just sits there and gathers and absorbs and files various things. And then my subconscious, I let it come into my conscious as much as possible. As much as it wants. I can't control it. This is not like I have some kind of a mental ability or talent to do this. I just let it happen. And I think of it as like there's doors. You know, we shut the doors to our subconscious when we're conscious because we don't want to let some of that stuff out. We kind of, you know, because some of it's not, you know, pretty stupid. It's wrong. It's incongruous. It's not syncopated. It's not configured. And people want to make a good showing for themselves. They don't want to, you know, sound like what their brains are real, what's really going on in their brains. But I kind of talk about these doors that open and shut. I let them, you know, like that. I let them, and whatever comes through and it gets incorporated in what I'm saying. So I trust. I'm kind of reaching my hand over the boundary of the conscious and subconscious, and I'm pulling in thoughts that want to come in because they do want to cooperate with me in my conversation, in what I say. They want to cooperate. So I let them in. I don't shut them out. So the doors open and close. You can't keep the doors open completely. I don't think you can do that. There I am. I don't think. Well, last night I was saying, you know, what happens is that maybe they're not like open shut things. Maybe they're like a saloon door, which is two doors. You've seen these in cowboy movies and theme parks where they have Western type theme places. And you know the saloon, you've seen saloon doors. Come on, we've all seen saloon doors. But nobody goes to a saloon anymore. They don't call them saloons. I guess you have to have a certain structure inside of the building for it to be a saloon as opposed to a bar or a bar and grill. It can be a bar and grill if you serve food, or just a bar if you serve just, but a saloon. I wonder, you know, now that I think about that, I'm going to exactly look up what that means. But anyway, I'm saying like, and it's saloon doors. So even when they're open, they keep going back and forth. Something can get through as long as it can fit through that opening. And saloon doors don't close entirely. They don't shut. In other words, there's a space between the two flappers. And I don't think they call them flappers. What are those called? Wings? They should call them wings. I think they should call them wings. The saloon door wings. I'm going to see exactly what it says about saloon, because now I'm thinking about it. What's the difference between a saloon and just a bar? Well, they call it a bar, and a bar, of course, has many different interpretations. Yes, I did. I'm in the book. Some people have said to me, because at the last weekend I was talking about going in the book, and I was looking at what it said when the artist Steve was here. I'm looking at artists, and someone said to me during the week, why don't you get a new dictionary, something like a state-of-the-art Oxford English, you know, has every word, including all the new words that come in every year, because they allow new words. They join the lexicon of our zeitgeist of our lexicon. They know they come into our language. A lot of them since the digital revolution. Let's see what it says. The saloon. Saloon. It was a very famous old song. I remember that my cousin when they were drinking in my family on holidays, they'd go sing saloon, saloon. I don't remember. All I remember is that. All I remember is that saloon. I don't remember the song. I'm gonna have to look it up on YouTube. Everything's on YouTube. Saloon. I'm gonna look for saloon here. S-L-L, two L's. Two L's, L-N-M-O-P. Do you do that too? Yeah, I still do it. Salmon? No. Saloon. Saloon. Salanders. Oh, saloon has one L. How do you like them apples? Here it goes. Saloon is a noun, of course. It says a drawing room. A drawing room. The main cabin of a passenger steamship. And in the U.S., it's a bar room. Here's another amazing thing. During the collage, or the opening, whatever you want to call that, we do in the beginning, that was the wonderful stand-up comedian Hannibal Buress. And I did cut, what do they call them, jump cuts on this particular stand-up routine that he was doing in England. I don't know why I did that. It just felt like doing that. And he's talking about how the English say certain things, and then how we say certain things. We've talked about this a million times on this show. Phrases and stuff that we use all the time that we never think of explaining. We just feel like the other person knows it, as he was talking about on so many levels and things like that. But saloon, and then he's talking about how, and he's right, literally, the British. And you British know, I know we're on in Great Britain, I was there for a long time in my life. And you people are listening. Did you say you people? Did you say you people? And they're listening in the middle of the night. If you're up really late in Great Britain, or you get up so early that this is like the morning show, which it gives you, it means serves you no purpose in terms of, you know, going to work, weather, or none of that. That's all for your local junk. Saloon, a drawing room. Now, drawing rooms are not necessarily American. And the main cabin of a passenger steamship. There were many more passenger steamships in Britain. In other words, what I'm saying is this is a kind of a British thing. Saloon. And for some reason or another, it says, you know, in the U.S., it's a bar room. So any bar room is a saloon. Ow. So any bar room. You know, I don't know why it suddenly seems cluttered. It must be because it's summer and things, you know, and it was hot. Oh, wow, you know, I'm not going to start complaining about the heat. I'll just tell you how incredibly hot it's been. We added a fan, nice little $14 fan that was really at $13 when you put the savings of it. It was a fan clearance. Someone said, well, you should have went there, Frank, and got the other kind of fans. Fan clearance. I could use more fans. A fan clearance. There were literally at this place called Ollie's, which has a character. I guess this guy, Ollie, was originally a guy who started this store. And then it turns out that this, you know, clearinghouse of junk, it really is a clearinghouse of junk. And that, you know, it's cheaper. Everything's cheaper, and it's all, you know, it's, they never have the same thing twice. You know, these stores, it's as if there's a treasure ship crashed somewhere, and then they take all the stuff out of this and they bring it to the store. Look what we got this week. So that, I guess that, I don't know what that was called. It should have been called the general store, because the general stores just have things. No, general stores, as I recall, and I went to them out west and everything, but, you know, in the old days, just like when they had saloons and those saloon doors, which is how I started this, by saying, you know, in my mind, between my subconscious and conscious are these saloon doors, and what comes blasting through, and it doesn't come blasting through, it seeps through, or what drives itself through the doors whenever it wants. Not, see, there's one. Now, that's what I thought it was, one of those open shut things, but it's not, because it's constantly coming in and out. That's being in touch with full consciousness. No, it's not full consciousness. It's not. Well, anyway, they're at this store, and I'm not giving them a plug, but I said, I should get a little fan for the studio, because it's just too hot down here, and it's been ages since this once had air conditioning here, but a lot of things were here. Now there's just ghosts, and there's me. And there's that humming, the hum of the emptiness, which is okay. It's just fine. This is the way this show began, and this is the essence of this show, which is not a program because there's nothing planned. This is where we're at. So I'm driving home. I said, where would I get a fan? Of course, the first thing that comes to my mind are the smelly, wide and crowded aisles of Ollie's, because I said, they have to have fans. There must have been a shit must have crashed somewhere. When I walk in, there's a giant sign. Fan clearance. And there's, I couldn't even count them. But I would say if they were stacked twice as high as I am standing, I'm 5'7" or whatever, 6'7", 8", 6'7", 8", and it's thick. It's like one, let's see, there's it's stacked twice as large as me, and it goes around, 5 feet each way. It's almost a perfect square. Just fans, boxes of these fans, same fans. On sale. So, but what I don't know is that when I get one and I figure, I'm just going to open this box, plug it in. It doesn't work like that. You have to assemble the fan. Here's some summer news. Assemble the fan. Oh, is this not good for me? Not good. It meant following directions. Not good. Something I don't do well. It meant, and you know why? Because directions, and it's not me. It's not ADD. It's not. I'm not mentally challenged that way. I don't have dyslexia. I don't have curtain rods. My curtains just kind of, you know, there's one. I don't have. See, that's what happened. That's what came out. That's what slipped out of the saloon door. There it goes. Went in and out. You know, I have to find the only Phillips head screwdriver I have in the house because Phillips head, because some guy named Phillips created this thing, and then suddenly every contraption had to have four, had to have a cross on the screws. It wasn't enough to have one screwdriver head of you. So I had a Phillips head and a screwdriver head, but a Phillips head is a screwdriver, whatever. And then I have to, of course, construct the fan. But the directions are never, first of all, they're printed lightly, and they're printed in two languages. Why they pick these two? One of them's English, the other one's whatever. I have no idea why they picked the other one, unless that's the country of origin. And they didn't make note, but I knew there were two different languages because I couldn't read one of them. And there's the directions, and they're really small, so I have to put on my glasses. And they're not exact. They say put the grid in, take the grid out of the, like I know what a grid, and then I, you know, you open it up, here's a fan. And of course, how many fans have I constructed in my life? So, you know, they don't, and the picture is small and the type is light. That's when you're ready to just, those are the moments when you're really tested in life. When you have to, you know you got to do something. I need this fan, not because of the stupid $13, but because I need this fan. I don't know if I can do it. down here and just sweat. My headphones on, completely drenched. It's been horrible. All these summers. All these summers. So, what do I do? I eventually get it. But I don't get it from the directions. And this happens to me a lot. I don't know if it happens to you a lot. But there's a point when I give up on directions. But let me tell you that that's what I mean. I have a problem with directions. A lot of other people don't. And some people seem to know. They have a knack. I love knacks. I love to say this about people. People have knacks, and they don't give themselves credit for the knacks that they have. What do you mean have? That they own. They own this particular talent for certain things. They get it. Like a jigsaw puzzle. Some people have a knack. You want me to look up knack? K-N-A-C-K? You can look it up. You know, they just have a knack. Because I can't think of any synonyms, that's why. What's opening? No, nothing came through. You see, now when I said synonyms, when I said synonyms, what came through the saloon doors? Cinnamon came through, and cinnamon made me think of cinnamon. What, Cinnamon Girl? Was that it? And then I thought of the Liars Club. These things just come through because, you know, the subconscious doesn't know what you want. I think that's why we have these crazy dreams when we're unconscious. That is asleep. I think that it doesn't know. It, you know, because it has all this information. We absorb everything. Our brain is just, there's so much stuff, but we don't use so much of it. We don't know what we would do if we did. I saw the coming attractions, or as they, see, and that's how you know age too. Someone says coming attractions. They're trailers. They've been trailers since, I guess, the 70s, but people say coming attractions. You know that they were watching TV when it first was available. They know they were going to movies when TV was new. Let's say that. Here's the coming attractions. I saw the trailer for this movie with Scarlett Johansson, and let's face it, any movie with Scarlett Johansson is worth watching because you could look at Scarlett Johansson. I'm terribly sorry if that sounds sexist or anything, but she's great to look at. She's great to view. Just to look at, that's wrong, isn't it? That's incorrect. She's just great to watch. It's great to watch Scarlett Johansson. There's this movie called Lucy, and the trailer intrigued me because it has to do with a girl. I have no idea how this works. A woman who has the ability, they do something to her scientifically, chemically, radiologically, and she has the ability to use 100% of her brain. And in the trailer, you see her doing things like the brain has so much power, you know. She could wave her hand and people fall down, and she could look through things like she. This isn't just a knack, okay? A knack is being able to do something without actually thinking about it. You just get it. You know what I mean? You just get it. Like when you read directions, you just get it. You look at it, there's 300. If you put 300 pieces of a jigsaw puzzle in front of me, I'm ready to burn it. I just want to put lighter fluid on it and light it and watch it burn. That's more entertaining to me because I know I'm going to sit there and go, this piece goes into that piece. And what's happening while I'm doing this? That's right. The doors are opening, the saloon doors. There's no, and it doesn't matter. Well, you know what it is? It's just that you can't concentrate. This makes no sense to me. See, there's something behind it. It makes no sense to me. It's not entertaining. So to sit here and put all these pieces together for a picture that's on the cover of the box is just worthless to me. I might as well be eating, chewing on Q-tips. See, that one went through. But we've talked because we had a bunch of brain programs and programs about using the brain and how smart we can get. When we talked about, anyway, you know what I'm saying. Well, this movie Lucy interests me because what people what the writer imagined in this movie would be like if someone used 100% of their brain. Maybe they wouldn't have to sleep. We've talked also about the movie Phenomena, one of the rare good John Travolta movies. Now, okay, that was opinion. It's a good movie, in it, and John Travolta stars in it. And Forrest Whitaker's in that way before he played Yuri. I would say Yuri. It's not Yuri. The Uganda. See, I heard Uganda president. Eli Watchcat. No, now I've lost the name, right? You know him. How can we forget? Idi Amin. We do these things. Our brain is doing these things. And, you know, and that's what I mean. The subconscious doesn't know what you want until you want it. So you're talking, and then you look for a word. And like, imagine there were all these people in a big room filled with files. And suddenly, you know, those people go like, he wants it. He's talking science. Quick, go into the science folder. And in the science folder, it's a file cabinet, let's say. Let's make this all into things that we could understand. It's a file folder, and everybody, and the men go, and the women, whoever is working there, I don't, maybe there's child labor in your subconscious. Maybe there are kids. Maybe it's allowed. They go in there and they start ripping out. They're looking for all the things that you could possibly need while in this discussion, and just kicking it out, you know, they're just coming out, you know, I don't have the sound of saloon doors, but I just got those. Saloon doors don't make noise. If you don't wire them, I guess they. So this movie Lucy interests me because I would love to imagine or see what somebody else imagines as using 100% of your brain. Now we're going to talk about the internet because there's some weird stuff. There's some new and distressing information out. All of it affects you, but like right now, I don't know what affects you, but, and as you must know, I'll tell you again if you don't know, I'm still getting many, many, many emails about money I've won, lotteries I've won all around the world. I can't believe this stuff is still going on, and it's going on to the extent that people might know, might not. Doesn't everybody know about these email scams by now? Cybercrime and the spy situation, links that have viruses coming to you, identity theft. Which I know people. Well, okay, but there's this one particular. We're going to look at some things that have to do with that because someone said they've looked at the future of the internet and it's dark. It's dark. Because now that everything is working on a digital level, not on so many levels, on a digital level. Whew, wow. And then recently I heard on the news about Chinese agents, I don't know what they would call it. I guess that China must have. I don't know they have. I don't know this because I don't live there and I'm not connected to the world of spies. But they must have like a whole bunch of people who are working every day to try to hack things. You must have like a hacking, the Chinese hacking department in China. They must have the Chinese government hacking department. And today they said there was some, they hacked into some stuff in America. I don't know what they're trying to do. Are they getting information? That's what they're trying to do. The super information highway is really crowded with good guys and bad guys. And now that there's no more mafia, we know that, then, you know, now what? I guess any number of people trying to deal with these scams. I'll go through some of these emails and I'll, just so that you know, if you get them, You should know. I don't think anybody who's a member of my audience is going to believe these emails. Hey, they don't even appear to be real. Grammar's all off. You would think that people claiming to be of the ilk that can give you money and they're members of governments and stuff, you think they'd know English well enough. Certainly, more people know English around the world in various countries than people who speak English as a first language know those languages. Did I just say that correctly? So if you go to Ireland and you speak Irish, no, if you go to Germany, there's more people in Germany who can speak English than there are people who just have English as a first language who can speak German. And then all the other countries that speak other languages. Okay. I want to mention that this is me, Frank Cotolo, and the man whose name adorns the title of the show, Cotolo Chronicles. It's just me, right here, an original drum solo, as it was, the phrase was coined, here comes the microphone, the phrase was coined by Kurt Brando, who will be on the show again soon as we go into August. I'm not even going to tell you about stuff that I think is coming up because I never know what's coming up as we have to shuffle things around and we're really ad hoc. This is an ad hoc. You should call us the Ad Hoc Production Company. Ad Hoc Production Company presents Cotolo Chronicles. Thank you to all the stations outside of SRN that repeat this, these shows. They're free to all of you after they're done live. We do this live on SRM. So if you're listening on these other places. And, of course, TrueTalkRadio.net and the Montreal Jewish News, which runs my political pulp column every Friday, fresh as a daisy. And ready to... The key to getting through political... The political landscape is laughing. So go read Political Pulp once a week, the MontrealJewishNews.com or net. I don't know what's net or con anymore. But this week, For Culture, number 13 came out. But 13, and this doesn't come out every month, so we're talking a couple of years here now. 13 editions of For Culture. Go to forculture.com. They're all there. You could read anything you want in these digital magazines. That includes great fiction and stories like mine, great editorials by the artist D, who is the managing editor, publisher, whatever. I don't know. Titles, I'm sorry, D. Titles are bad. I'm bad on titles. With those titles, not with titles of books. Remember that? I got those all together. I got those nailed down. For Culture, number 13, is out. And this is a cutting-edge magazine, not just because it's all digital. You can't get it in print. I don't even know. Well, I guess you can print anything that has a... Well, that would be an expensive proposition because the cartridges are for print. There's like four color. Anyway, go look at it and get the app. There's a new app there you can get to pick up things that you want from the magazine. And my stuff from there is exclusive. As you know, I got stuff all over the gosh darn place. I got blogs and things like that. And of course, 148.ca/Frank. That's every week. Something else comes out. So these guys who are out there, who have all this help, including people like Don Imus, and he has a blog and he does a million things, but he's got a team. I am my team, okay? So when you see the blog, it's by me. It's not by the guys who work for me. It's not by whatever you see is me. I do it. And at For Culture, number 13. Numbers 1 through 13, I'm there. Those are my stories, and they're exclusive. You're not going to find those anywhere else. Just like when you go to 148.ca/Frank, it's just my stuff. And their archives are there. So you can read, you can sit around and read them for a long time. Put them on your iPhone, put them on your iPad, take some ibuprofen while you're at it. And enjoy, because they're, They're good. This is the best stuff I do that isn't, you know, the other stuff. Particular. I do particular things for money, but the stuff I do because I write. I'm a writer. And speaking of that, isn't it about time you went out and got some books? Did you get the books yet? Did anyone get these books yet? Let's see. We got some ways to look at the... we got some things. I think we got me. I wonder if we have... Let me see. Hold on. Ta-da, 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 ta-da. Hold on. Let me see. I know we can do this. Have you gotten the book yet? Now, remember, when I run these ads for the books, that the ones from Molotov Memoirs... The ones from Molotov Memoirs are also available in digital. So when you go there and you see, oh my gosh, look how much it costs for the hard copy. You get it, get the digital one. It's cheaper. And all the great art by T. Stefan Gesick is there also. So let's do some of this.
Frank Cotolo. He just talks and 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 talks.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Yeah, the other one. Thank you.
There's nothing un-American about Molotov Memoirs by Frank Cotolo, illustrated by T. Stefan Gesick. Why, this is Americana at its best. Literature, drama, conflict. It's everything I remember and things I think I remember through a storied life of history in show business, politics, and celebrated people's lives. It's me, Frank Cotolo, inviting you to buy Molotov Memoirs. Go to blurb.com and put in my name, Frank Cotolo, and get Molotov Memoirs. Buy a copy for your friends, buy a copy for your lovers and your haters, everybody. This is America!
Yeah, right. What does that have to do with anything? Well, you know what it is, that people hear Molotov and they think like, what is that? Molotov. It's Russian immediately. So blurb.com, go get it. It's $3.99 or something like that. It's great. Believe me, it is great. And I'm proud of my work and the things I do in print, if it's a digital print or not. And I'll tell you what we will be doing soon. We are going to do that show where I reveal the names, the titles of books I will never write. I know, I don't have enough time in my life to do it. But I have all the titles and I have at least a paragraph on each one. And eventually I'm going to write a book that will have all the titles of the books and a paragraph on the books that I will write. I will never write, I'm sorry, but I want to write. We'll write, nope, there goes... I know. Keep up with me. My hand reaching through over the fourth wall of the of the consciousness of well, that would be a fourth wall, wouldn't it? I think it would be a fourth wall. When you're, yeah, the subconscious. It's like the third man, the fourth wall. Look at this. I'm second guessing the third man as he talks through the fourth wall. I've gotten any number of, and these are new now. Ages ago, before, let's see if I can get the most recent one, well before anybody talked about the email scams, we pretty much broke the story on this. And of course, I not only can I prove that, because years ago, there's no way to prove it because I don't have tapes or documented when there was internet radio and only certain people were listening, but we did this. I'm looking for this one that I got here. What is this? No, that's another one. Recently. Thank you. No, that's another one there. I'm looking for this. And you know these great names that these people have. And now I can't find anyone because I certainly did not put this into perspective. I didn't go in there and check out the... All right, you can go. Now, so what am I doing while I'm on the air now? While I'm here, I will just clean out some of these things. Oh, look at this. Oh, here, I'll clean that. Ah, here we go. This is from Master David Tagro. Now, come on. I don't want to make it sound like there are people out there listening to this show, because I know that unlike a lot of other shows, my listeners are smarter than I. It's not like, and I don't act any other way. I'm not like those guys on those other shows. And some of them literally are better. Better? Come on. Go into the file. Some of them are more intelligent than their listeners. I'm not. So I don't want any of you to think that I'm saying this is phony. You should know it. But I'm going to read you because this is funny. And I answer, as I said, I answer all of these letters. And I know we don't have the time to do that. It's easy. I just, you know, sometimes very, very strange ways. I get off the list, but there are just too many lists. You cannot get off the list. And I don't know where the lists come from anyway. I don't know where they originate. Here's one. Dearest one. It also says here, it says two undisclosed recipients. Now, you know right there you got a problem. And it's from Master David Tagro. And then in parentheses, it has the name of someone else. This one says lisakareem@gmail.com. So you could write back to them and you could load them up with stuff. But let me read this to you and then tell you, you know how you can deal with it. But I don't understand why this is still going on in Y2K plus 14. Why is this stuff still going on? I am Master David Tagro, the only son of late Mr. Desire Asignini Tagro, the former interior minister in Laurent Gbagbo's government, Cote d'Ivory. I guess that's the Ivory Coast. My father died Tuesday of shrapnel wounds sustained when members of the Republican forces stormed the presidential palace to arrest Mr. Gbagbo on April 2nd, 2011. Of course, none of us heard anything about this on any news station, and this happened. So you're supposed to read this, Master David Tagro, and I'm supposed to believe this. Now that I'm getting 25 of them. Listen, he was the acting minister of interior in the government that was formed following that agreement before his appointment in the aftermath of the 28th November post-election crisis as the general secretary of the presidency. That's a long sentence. Anyway, he says, I want to transfer this $7,500,000 U.S. dollars left in a fixed suspense account in one of the prime banks of my late father. According to the bank, I'm the only person that can direct them on where and when to make the transfer. Okay, $7,500,000 U.S. dollars. I'm getting an email. I don't know this guy or anything. I am looking for a God-fearing person to help me. Is that supposed to be an appeal? I want to transfer this money and use it for investment purpose, such as real estate management, and continue my education under your care in your country. I am 19 years left with nobody on earth. It's two words, no body on earth. Man has no body. More details will follow at your response. Okay, so now he's trying to form some kind of communication. Now, what I usually do, and I'll write, but I'll do this as we're here. I hit reply, and I will write. And by the way, you know what the subject is? Please save my soul. So I will write here. What's his name again? Master David. Master David. Okay. Soul saving is my specialty. I will be happy to save your soul. I'm going to do the clean one because I do a lot of these really nasty, dirty ones. They're hilarious. And anybody who wants them, I try to save them all. This would be a great book in itself. I know someone said to me, if you had saved all these, what a book this would have made. That's what they say now. And then I do commercials for it. And, you know, where is anybody buying the book? I will be happy to save your soul and have you come to my home and further your education, here in America. Now that you have, and I'm going to put capital N-O, next word, nobody. I know it's funny. Okay, it just goes on and on and on and on. But of course, I could do this. And I see what I'll do here is I'll see if he'll respond, and then he sends back trying to get a relationship with me. And somehow this he has $7 million. Now, if a guy has $7 million in U.S. currency, how could he not get here? What does he need me, Frank Cotolo, to help him? Why does he need you? Insert your name to help. So I'm just going to write here. Get back to me. Get back to me as soon as possible. That's all I'm going to write, say. And then it is. I send it. And I'll keep track of whatever he does. Now, I might get back a response, or I might get back something that I don't know is a response, because they may just get they got my address now. They may start sending me strange things that have links. And you know as well as I do, don't you? You never click a link. Someone you don't know, an email, there's a link in there. I don't care what it says. Even if it's a company you deal with, I try to tell Comcast that I get these mock emails. Well, they're emails that are artistically designed in HTML to look like they come from Comcast. But you know, I'm just not that much of an idiot. And if I get things that says, quick, Comcast says, quick, we need your account information. Why? Everything's working. I'm like, why? You don't have my number? You don't have my telephone? What? Everything's working. Why do you suddenly need it quickly? Nuts. That's nuts, right? You don't give out this information. You all know that. And a lot of this stuff will help you from ever having to have your identity stolen. It's just certain information you won't give out. And a lot of it's very secure. You trust your bank. I trust my loan company and everything else. But so these are the general things, and it's still going on. And I'm still getting love mails from, here's from Mrs. Heba Fassi in the Middle East, Damascus. A very good day to you. We have an immediate business proposal that involves $189 million. Which we like to invest under your custody. Once I receive a message from you notifying me of your interest, the details of the transaction will say, and then of course what they want, you know, is to over and over again. You think there's more from Jennifer Amina. With tears rolling down my eyes, with total submission to the will of God, I choose this means to communicate you because I am sure I will get in contact with the right person that will be honest to me. My name is Jennifer Amina. I'm 22 years old, girl. And I'm reading this exactly as it is written. I'm not making up the mistakes. And I am from Damascus, Syria, studying nursing in the University of Damascus before the war broke out. The war in my country, Syria, has taken many lives and rendered many people homeless. I am just a refugee now. It's so sad that one afternoon when I came back home and see my father's house destroyed by bomb, by the rebels, and this goes on. I mean, I went, please help me and receive this money. And she has money. She has £2 million. She can't get out of Syria. Okay. All right. That's the story with that. And all this stuff continues on and on. But where's my other things? Here. But here's something. Let me find it. And now I can't find it. What? They have seen the future of the internet, and it is dark. I'm going to read to you from a article. So, you know, all those emails are still going out, and they're coming out. They're coming out. You're going to get them one way or another. Don't be afraid. Write back to them. Tell them, even just gigantic, get the biggest font you can say, go to hell. Get the biggest font you can. Respond. See, when you don't respond, you just keep getting it. Eventually, they'll take you. But if you just tell them, I know, you're fake, you're a fraud, you stink. You don't even have to be as graphic as I get, because I just have fun. And I know they read it. I wrote a really lewd, rude one to some guy who sent me one. It wasn't even a guy. They make up these people. And he wrote back to me, and he says, you better take this seriously. This is no joke. He wrote it. So he must have read it all. And you can just imagine these people sitting around laughing their heads off. They have seen the future of the internet, and it is dark. A lot of this stuff has to do with the fact that, as we said, there's so much now in the commercial world. So many things are run by digital technology that right now, with the hackers and the people who are doing the kind of things that they do out there in order to screw up stuff. That's what it is. And I don't know why some of this stuff is done. You know, the ones that get information from you, okay. The ones that you don't know about, I don't know a lot about these, is what I'm saying. I have no idea why some of these are done. I mean, they're just not, why they're hacked, why you get some of these things. They just sent out at random or what have you. I don't know the actual reason for some of these scams that are, you know, and why they would want to just infect your computer. And why does this thing go out to a billion people? Why? And if they're going to take your, if they're going to take it over, that's one thing. Okay. If they're not going to take it over, then why are they doing it? I don't get it. Okay, let's read this. We have time. Is there seven? No, I tell you what, we're going to take the little break we take in the top of the hour here, and then I'm going to come back, and we'll read some of this. We'll go through some of this stuff, and we'll talk about. I don't know if you have to be worried about any of this. As I said, I'm doing this as I go along, just as you are listening. I'm hearing this stuff. I'm doing this. So we're going to find out if there is anything that needs to be fear. I'm Frank Cotullo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show here as we're live on Cotullo Chronicles. Whatever happens during a show, so you may find out by going to CotulloChronicles.blogspot.com. And what happened? I'm doing so. I see, because I do everything. And that's what I mean. When you read this stuff, it's not like those other guys. All right, let's go. And what we'll do is we'll come back and we'll talk about this stuff and anything else that comes up. Because there's a lot of stuff going on. My name is Frank Cotullo, and the man's name joins the title of the show. You're listening to Cotullo Chronicles, and here on the 10th of July, Y2K plus 14. We've made it this far. I think we can make it even further. I think we can get through this. And gosh knows. See, I didn't want to commit myself. Gosh knows that we have been here a long time. So if we got through this, we'll get through some more. But boy, there's some weird stuff going on. Okay, don't worry. Don't worry. Because like I said, I just don't care. Don't care enough to make it, you know, don't lose any sleep over it. Just use your head and see what happens. We'll be right back.
Cthulhu Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
He says that a decade of politics was enough for his liking and is ready to tackle new challenges.
Mrs. Augmire, here's McCallion, has announced that she will run for a 12th term.
The leader of the Greens called the plan an appalling abuse of power. Region of York workers accidentally grazed the line open while replacing a no parking sign. A fire at Brother Andre Catholic High School is alleged to have been deliberately set, according to students.
Simple, straightforward, and relevant to you. SRN National News.
What about the world?
Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
And oh, was Benjamin Franklin wise.
So you actually think electricity can pass through metal? Ha! Ben Franklin, go fly a kite.
Excellent idea. Where are my keys?
Besides the bifocals, Ben invented the Franklin stove. The odometer.
Whoa.
Oh, and the lightning rod. Ingenuity, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Arthritis isn't just about getting old. In fact, arthritis is a serious disease that affects more than 4 million Canadians, including baby boomers and children. For many people, arthritis means pain and disability. But there are answers for those struggling with the disease. The Arthritis Society can help. We offer hope through education, support, and solutions with information and programs to make life easier. The Arthritis Society. Visit us online at arthritis.ca for help or to make a donation.
Would it be crazy if you just stopped everything, packed your bags and left for a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? Would people think you'd lost your mind? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? A village crowded with Buddhist temples and skyscrapers. A place where there isn't a word for recluse, but a thousand words for community. Would it be crazy to go 5,000 miles from home? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To build libraries and fill them with stories? Prepare a meal with food you helped grow? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? It's calling. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Hey guys, I'm Jess.
And I'm Lisa from the Veronica Cares for Rad.
We see a lot of things at gigs, mostly people having a good time and having a few drinks. But what we'd hate to see is someone getting behind the wheel after they've been drinking. Being even a little bit over the limit makes it too easy to lose control and possibly lose your life or that of a friend. So if you plan to drink, plan ahead. Arrange a designated driver who won't drink or stay the night at a friend's place.
Remember, music lives and you should too.
A public service message brought to you by Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm the narrator. Let's see what Frank Cotolo is up to in the studio.
I'm about to have a duel with my co-host, Jeremy Long.
All of a sudden, a bear attacks out of nowhere.
Oh no! All of a sudden, a bear is attacking out of nowhere!
The bear chews Frank in half and then turns towards Jeremy.
I don't have a lot of time here, mainly because this is only a 30-second spot and I'm facing imminent death. Listen to Cotolo Chronicles live Thursday nights from 9 to 11 p.m. at 148.ca SRN Media Works with me, Frank Cotolo, and Jeremy Long. Say goodbye, Jeremy. That's enough.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com.
Here. Imagine if there were companies that made cookies and they only got together to make like one, a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time. Okay?
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million other your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that? All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
Hey girls, we know what's hot. When a guy respects a girl enough to ask and doesn't just try to make a move on us. We don't want to be pushed, pressured, or persuaded to have sex. We can make up our own minds. And when we say no, we mean no, not maybe or I need to be convinced more. It doesn't matter what we're wearing, what we've done in the past, or whether or not we said yes but then changed our mind. It's hot when guys respect our decision. If they don't and try to force groping or sex without our permission is illegal. And any guy who tries to get away with it can get arrested for sexual assault. And that's on his record permanently. Hey, real men respect. And respect is hot.
Respect!
For information about sexual assault, log on to WCASA.org. That's WCASA.org. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault, the Wisconsin Department of Health and Family Services, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, gone to dawn, it's radio that turns them on. Choice, East Coast, West Coast, in between, it's radio that makes the scene.
Frank Cotolo. He just talks and 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 talks and
talks. That's right. Third man here, Frank Cotolo. I got a lot of him. Commander Cotolo, the bard of broadcasting, the third man, neo-postmodernist, you sunburnt sickleman, make holiday. Put on your straw hats and your high-heeled sneakers, we're back. Some of those pieces of information are very important. And I think they think you should know about them. Na-na-na. We're here on July 10th. We're here live, and you're listening to this on rebroadcast. Then it's not July 10th. But you are here. Oh, no, no, no. I'm here with my zithers, and this is exactly where it goes for a while. I'm all alone, actually. Net Red Eye Couple Surface, Netaholics, and Information. The power of broadcasting as we take you down the hallelujah trail. Yeah, right. There goes. I just clipped it out. What happens is the flies and the humidity. Not even flies, are gnats. G-N-A-T-S, gnats. Hang on. As I'm talking, they fly into my throat. And then what am I supposed to push? I can't push the kill button, the cough button. I don't have it. This is the way it works. Here on Cthulhu Chronicles, on the man's name, which joins the title of the show. And this is it. This is the article that prompted whatever this theme tonight turns out to be. I forgot what it was called. I forgot the headline of the... We really market this in a way where you think something distinct is going to happen, and then it goes all over the place. You know why? Because that's life, and that's how it works, and that's how we live, and that's Cthulhu Chronicles. There's this website called bits.blog. Oh, it's a New York Times. That's something. They have seen the future of the Internet, and it is dark, by Quentin Hardy. This comes to me via the American Association of Composers, Artists, and Publishers, because they put out a newsletter here. And this is, did I say Quentin Hardy? I did. Quentin Hardy. Quentin. Another name that never would have happened when I was a kid. And a kid named Quentin. He'd be beat up just for having that name. They would literally beat the boy up. They'd slap him silly for having the name Quentin. But in any event, in all events, and in any events, especially in this event, here we go. Forecasting is tough. The future comes at us fast today with too many variables to say much with certainty. Predictions are still useful, though. They are an excellent way to examine the passions of the moment. I don't know if passions is used correctly there. But let's do this, because this is about painful stuff. Painful trials. The Pew Research Center. I don't know much about this place, but boy, do I hear a lot about it. P-E-W. Pew, as in a pew, is also a... all I've ever heard that is in churches. If you grew up Catholic. In the pew, you never heard pew. Anywhere else in Brooklyn did anyone use pew as that space except in somewhere in a Catholic church or a Protestant church or a Jewish church. The Pew Research Center, one of the better known think tanks. It's a think tank. Imagine growing up. Quentin, did you go to the think tank today? Yes, and it was disturbing on so many levels. The Pew Research Center, it published the third in a series called Digital Life in 2025, not that far away. We didn't think we'd get to Y2K plus 14 this quickly. It's only another... I see I couldn't do the math right away. My brain was going... The men in my sub... They were running from the information. These information, math, quickly. Some people just got that knack. See, the knack to just get it right off the bat. Even taken as a snapshot of today and not the world to come, the report is titled Net Threats, and it's pretty dark reading. Pew's Internet Project, in collaboration with Elon University's Imagining the Internet Center, surveyed 1,400 high-profile technology thinkers, of which one is not Frank Cotolo. Collectively, the experts posited new government crackdowns on online freedoms, greater surveillance and less trust online, and the squelching of individual creativity through control by big companies. Now, this is also what gets my interest, even though I did not read this article before this. As I never do. Just get the idea and move on with it, because I want the spontaneity of my moment, your moment, our moment here on Cthulhu Chronicles. My name is Frank Cthulhu. I'm the man's name who does tell the show. Big companies that wanted nothing to do with where we are now, this broadcasting, streaming, internet thing. Now they don't just want to be sharing time and cyberspace with us, they want control. There are even dangers from the personalization of content. That customization, a way of limiting information overload, was also seen as a threat to healthy serendipity in what we read, watch, and think about. This is dark. And remember, we're not talking about digital. We're talking about digital technology that's used on the internet for these various reasons that Quentin is talking about. Disturbing at so many levels. This is what Quentin is talking about. Not the great use of digital technology, that the ways it really helps us every single day makes our life easier. His quote, "We asked about the threats and opportunities to free content on the internet, and we got all these elaborate answers," said Lu Li. You know, you look right at the name and you say another name. Why? L-E-E is Lee. I say Lou, L-E, and I see in my head L-E-W because, you know, I'm reaching my hand through the fourth wall. Come on, guys. It's Lee. And then I say Lou, L-O-U. I see in my, they're throwing out these things. Okay, here's what he said. "We asked about the threats and opportunities to free content on the internet, and we got all these elaborate answers," according to Lee Rainey, director of the Pew Internet Project and co-author of the report, this report that we're talking about. "Compared with the past," he said, quote, "there is a more palpable sense of dread about what may happen to life online." Now, on my, here's what I'm doing. I'm adding this. I didn't say it, but I'm adding this to my list of titles for books. I love this. Here's the name. A palp. Well, I hate pens that automatically click off palpable. I bet you do. I want this phrase. A palpable. Well, now I lost it. I have no idea. There is a more palpable. I'm sorry to interrupt the conversation by doing this, but it's what I need to do. Palpable sense of dread. Dread, one of the great, if not one of the greatest words in the English language. Not because of what it means, but it's just, it's so expressive. And it's not onomatopoeic in that it sounds like the word's meaning. Maybe it does. Maybe it is kind of onomatopoeic. Dread. It doesn't sound like, oh. Doesn't sound like, well, I'll let you be the judge of that. "This troubling view emerged when this group, many of whose members were initially positive about the future, was asked by Pew to describe, and I quote, the most serious threats to the most effective accessing and sharing and content on the internet," unquote. It may not be surprising then that the word threat appears 57 times in the report, while hope or variance show up just 12 times. Corporate and corporation appear 31 times, only once in a positive sense. Quentin, we got nightmares coming here because of this. You want to read the whole report? You can email me, fcatolo@yahoo.com, and I'll send you the link so you can read the whole report. I'm not going to put it up on the blog. Because once the show is over, and it's not over, it never over, it just goes on, it'll be repeated. You know what I'm saying? Okay, let's go back. Previously, a group of experts queried by Pew had predicted the effects of a pervasive internet, while the other survey looked at the implications of the sensor-rich internet of things. Those were generally sunny projections. Things were not necessarily, I'm reading verbatim. But I'm also just moving on. I'm sliding into another sentence here and there of something. So how scared should we all be about the world to come based on this? This more palpable sense of dread. What about it? Okay. It helps to look at the timing behind the report. The survey was carried out online between November and January when Edward J. Snowden's revelations about national security agency spying on ordinary citizens dominated the tech news, and Mr. Rainey said probably affected people's futurism. The repercussions of what Snowden did. Isn't it funny? Can't they just call him Ed Snowden? Edward J. Snowden. They give him the dignity. This guy who some people think is he took all these secrets and threw them out there and gave them to people who supposedly are enemies. A And yet when they write about him, it's Edward J. Snowden. Oh, Edward J. What Edward J. Snowden did, well, how he perpetrated the national security is dreadful in so many levels. This is when it was written. So this is when the survey took place. So this is definitely a post-Snowden environment. As for the fears that profit-seeking companies will limit access or exploit our lazy side, Mr. Rainey said, and this guy, and Quentin wrote, Mr. Rainey noted. Remember, you don't, okay, I'm not gonna give a lesson in journalism here. I'll just change it as I'm reading it. Mr. Rainey said, there is a chronic worry about the commercialization of everything online. This goes right back to the beginning of the expansion of the internet once broadband came about and we got rid of that. Amazon Fast, pretty good. The old modems. Everybody was worried if I put something on, is someone going to steal it? Yes, they are. And they got to put your name on it, though. Is someone going to steal it? And then, of course, why? Then they're going to make money on it. You're not? No. I got news for you. No one's going to make money on it. That's the whole thing. And we said that from the beginning. Because it's hard to make money on it. And that was before the big companies were here. But even with the big companies here, I don't know. Maybe do they get a spider that runs through everything creative and look and steal stuff? We don't know that. But there is a chronic worry. We all know that. Clearly, the Snowden revelations matter regarding how we think about the internet. Though so far, the revelations that the NSA has an eye on online life do not seem to have changed much the way people behave. Wherever there's a fear, there's some kind of commercialization of it into a product. Now, of course, people's identities get stolen, but they get stolen not just because of the internet. And this has been going on well before there was an internet, just as crime has been going on before. This is cybercrime, okay? It's because this is just another avenue that the thugs could come down and steal things and do three-card Monte games, okay? But when people tell you, you know, you're going to steal your identity, you're going to steal your identity. They steal your identity. So they don't tell you how you can best behave on the internet. What they say is, why don't you subscribe to our service and then you'll be safe almost. And they say almost. They even have their own, you know, the kid might not, you know, we're not 100%. Their own caveat. And we'll protect you as much as we can. So pay us $116.67. I recently looked into one of these things. And the former New York mayor, presidential candidate, and outrageous lisper, 9-11, Rudy Giuliani, does a commercial for this place that's a LifeLock. I think it's LifeLock. They're not a sponsor of mine, so I don't care. They sponsor a lot of the conservative talk shows that are sent out free to everyone, but they have this. And he goes, hey, you know, everyone can have their identity stolen. That's right. They could. Everyone could. You know, so you better. So, you know, I found it. So, well, you know, maybe this is worth looking into. What could it be? How about $65 a month or even better, $110 a month? You really want us to protect you and super plan $250 a month, you know? I don't even have an alarm on my door. So what I'm saying is, whenever there's a fear, there's going to be someone who comes up with the product that they can make money off of the fear. Isn't that what, you know, organized religion's all about anyway? Isn't the entire Bible just like, look out, here comes God. Look out. All right. So wherever there's fear, there's somebody, some bunch of people, some organization, some commercial company, looking to make money off of it. That's just the way it goes in human nature. There are other ways that the experts might have thought about the future of online content as well. as the stuff through Snowden, I guess. Most of the Pew experts identified themselves as North American. They seem to have implicitly defined content as something human-created and personal, valuing free expression and difference. This comes right back to what the whole conversation last week that the artist D and I had on the show. As laudable as those traits may be, and they are laudable, to some critics, this perspective itself may represent a certain type of present bias. Here's a quote from Steven Weber, who's a professor at the School of Information of the University of California, Berkeley. This is not Steven Weber, who was on Wings, the sitcom in the 70s. Was it the 80s or 70s? I don't even know. Anyway, he says, I spend a lot of time in the United Arab Emirates, and people there might say that this free internet is a kind of subsidized oligopoly. I knew I was going to try and say it. My mind just read the doors when I put it. Try it. Quick, get out the pronunciation. oligopoly. It's not oligopoly. I always do that with oligopoly. Is it oligopoly? It's oligopoly. Oligopoly. Hey, have you seen oligopoly? Yeah, he's looking terrible. He's limping now. He's getting older every day, oligopoly. His name is Ligop. Is the free internet kind of a subsidized oligopoly of Western cultural imperialism? That's what he said, Steven Weber, not of Wings. He said, they also think it's a place where the NSA spies on you. No, that's what happens in the United Arab Emirates. That's what they think about the internet. Here's the internet. You know, to some people, it's a porn machine. To other people, it's a porn machine and an in-house library where you can look up anything and do anything. To Mr. Weber, is the world becoming less free and creative? Is overhyped rhetoric. I've heard from the same experts for the past decade. This is what Mr. Weber says. And I agree. So who cares what I say? This is not one of those shows where it's like, well, I agree. Here's what I think. Here's what Frank Cotolo had to say about it. Screw Frank Cotolo. It's not what, isn't that, by the way, this is Cotolo Chronicles. And I am Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. When I think about it, you know, you think about it. I want you to think about it for you to think about it. Nobody cares what I think about it, and technically they don't care what you think about it, or your friends, or anything else. It's just like, see how it affects you, and deal with it from there. Just as important is, I'm back to the article now, just as important is the kind of changes to the internet and content that no one seems to have talked about. The experts in this particular report seem to think of the internet as a place that people go to, or a thing they visit periodically. This is increasingly less the case. And not just because, according to the internet analysis, Mary Meeker, some people now check their smartphones up to 150 times a day. And you talk about the math of texting while driving. I saw that recently. 23 times more possible to be in an accident if you're texting while driving than if you're not texting while driving. That's a gigantic percentage. 23 is near 25. 25 is a quarter. You don't want to increase anything 23%. Just imagine you get headaches and they're okay. You can deal with them. Maybe you even take an aspirin and you're fine. Imagine if that headache was increased 23%. That's gigantic. I know it doesn't sound a lot because we think in like terms of like 100%. I was like, oh, you're 100% right. Nobody's ever 100% right. And like Lucy's not using 100% of her brain either. Is she? Not all the time. She'd probably blow up. I guess a person would blow up. There's no way to even handle that. So don't text and drive. There's a public service announcement from me, Frank Atolo. I don't even know how people talk when they drive. And it is against the law in certain states. Why did I bring that up? Because people check their smartphones up to 150 times a day. And that would be an average. Some people do it 200. You know what I'm saying? It just goes out. It goes out the average. But 23% more. Do you know the chances of sitting, getting in an airplane and you're going to fly to wherever? I don't care where you're going. The chances of being in a crash, not the chances of dying in a crash, of being in a crash in that airline are like 73 million to one. Wow. That's gigantic. And you can text all you want. You know, I don't think you're closer to the satellites because you're flying 40,000, 50,000 feet up. Location-aware devices, wearables, like health monitors that beam info to the computing cloud and the sensor-rich world all mean that the habits of the internet have blown out across the world. Soon enough, almost every human activity and the internet will be inextricable. Okay, here we go. How about those Google glasses? Now you, okay? There was a time if you wanted to videotape somebody, you had to buy a piece of equipment that was, I mean, it might have started at $800, and it was connected to a power pack and a thing, and it was big. There's no way to put it under your shirt, under a coat. You can't hide the thing. It's gigantic. It's digital in a way. No, maybe it wasn't digital. It was analog. That's why. Anything analog is big and clunky and filled with parts. Now it's reduced to something that's on the side of a set of eyeglasses. And it can take video. Wow. Okay? So there's that. There's, think of what they're saying. All human activity and the internet will be inextricable. So what we do is connected to the cyber world. In every possible way. What we're doing, maybe what we're saying, maybe where we're going. Look at those GPSs. Did I say it right this time? I hear GSP. I say GSP because I always think of Garden State Park. When I hear GPS, I know. It's like, come on, can you guys file that so that you separate the GSP and the GPS? Look at that thing. And when we were shooting. When we launched satellites up there to go around the world, we didn't even know how many are up there. It's very crowded up there. We have any idea that was so that we could walk around and talk on a thing or we could, no, we had no idea that we would be inextricably connected. The writer says, Quentin? My heartbeat connected to a cloud-based health monitor is content that welds the person and the machine. The video I watch is content, but so is where and how long I watched it and what I did next. Have you seen what goes on? I didn't notice this until last week. It has to do with Facebook. But last week or the week before that, I went to a website looking for a lawnmower. I didn't even go to a website. Yeah, I went to a website. One of these places, Lowe's, Home Lowe's, Depot, Home Depot. I went to Home Depot and looked for what they had there before I would go there and pick it up. You could actually, you don't even have to go and pick it up. You can have them deliver it. Okay, that's a whole other thing. But what I did was I went to this website and I typed in, you know, lawnmowers, and they showed me pictures and had all sorts of information. So thorough now on all the products they have that are lawnmowers. Engine, not engine, blink, blah, blah. Okay. Those pictures that were on, that I clicked, and the specific ones that I looked at on the page at home dipped to pot. Later that day, I noticed I was on my Facebook page. And on the side on the right, that screen left, my right, as I'm going through my news feed, I see the lawnmowers. I said, wait, what are the lawnmowers doing there? There's a way they got the information that I was into lawnmowers that day, that week, or whatever. And somehow it showed up as if to remind me, as if to say, hey, hey, Mr. Purchaser of lawnmowers. At that point, I realized what was going on. The machine that I did not know about is the one that's tracking what I like, what I like or what I need, and what I'm searching for on the internet, what I'm doing, and anything. And that wherever I go, I don't know, used to, I don't exactly understand cookies. I don't know what those pieces of digital, what are they called anyway? Digital, those digital bytes. I don't know what they exactly, what they look like or anything. Or, but anyway, the point is that the information is being collected somehow. And no matter what I do to my cache, if I clear my cache, if I clear my cookies and everything else that goes on, that's been going on for a long time. The fact is it's getting more sophisticated, and now they're able to somehow, they're in league with the Facebook and everyone else who's doing, remember when this, user-driven, this is user-driven content? No wonder they're making so much money. There's no content. Imagine you have a room, you build a room. Here, let's do this. Here, this is this way. Let's look at it this way in terms of Facebook. Think about how diabolical is this concept. I open up a theater. I buy this building, and inside of it, I got seats, and I got a stage, lights, whatever. And I put up a sign. Your show tonight, come by. Book time, come in, do your show. User-oriented content. I don't audition these people. I don't know what they're going to do. I have certain rules. Please don't do anything this. Don't do, you know, anything lewd or what have you. Bring your friends, whatever. Let them watch. Maybe I'll make extra money by selling goo-goo, gagas, and dots, and candy crumples, and popcorn. But there's no content. I don't have any. You're the content. Come on in, bring your friends, and do your little show here. Book the time, there you go. A half hour, Howie Markowitz, come on in. You know, just have somebody to just kind of usher everyone in and out to do what they got to do. That's Facebook. I've got user-oriented content. Joe Schmo likes to play guitar, and he writes his own music, and he's going to have 25 of his friends come see him that night. Come on in. Here's Joe Schmo. I don't audition him. I don't make sure that he's promoted. He promotes himself. I may even charge him if he wants extra promotions like they do on Facebook. This is how I'm going to make my money. But that would be the theater. That would be the analog sister or brother sibling. The analog sibling of the virtual theater that is Facebook. Okay? User-oriented. And then you come in and I take notes about what you sing, about what you do. Your friends, I make them sign things. Oh, where do you live? What do you do? Leave your email and we'll get in touch with you again. I get all their information. And then the next time Joe Schmo comes by with his friends, I go, look, here's Joe Schmo's friends. Look what they like. And suddenly, in the lobby little store that I have only the products and kind of stuff that Joe's friends buy. See, I customize it. You know, this is actually a very good idea. For anyone out there who's an entrepreneur, wow. And, yeah, and what we'll, we have it virtually. Why don't we actually make it? Let's get an analog version of Facebook. The theater. I'll call it something else, of course, because that's Facebook. Yeah, and we'll do it. And then that's a great idea. If somebody uses that idea right now, then these guys are right. See, somebody took, I don't know how many ideas I must have given out over the years. And I haven't seen but one stolen. Maybe they're afraid. Don't take that. I heard that on Cthulhu Chronicles. He'll sue you. I don't think nobody's going to know what you did. But this is a great idea for an entrepreneur out there. And coffee shops kind of do it when they just say, do you want to come and play? They don't pay you. You come by, and then, of course, if you bring your friends, then your friends... But they don't go all the way with it, though. They don't get all the information. And we could do this. We could do this at a grand scale. Oh, I'm tired just thinking about it. That's why I don't do the things I think about, because they just these projects come up, and there's such these great ideas, and I've never been anything but an idea man. I observe and I report and I say and I tell, and the ideas and the thoughts and the expressions come out, but I don't do a damn thing. Which is why I'm not a commentator, because I'm not a gas bag. Even though, as they say, you know, I do. Even though they say.
Frank Cotolo.
Yeah, right.
He just talks,
right.
And talks,
yeah.
And talks, yeah. And talks, yeah. And talks, yeah. And talks, 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 and talks.
My name is Frank Cotolo, and the man whose name adorns the title of this show is Cotolo Chronicles. We're in the last 15 minutes of these 2 hours on Y2K plus 14, July the 10th. I don't know who'll be here next week. Maybe Jeremy Long will be back with me next week. Jeremy still has to tell us the story of his, he just made a, he was in a movie called Me, You, and the Canoe. See, they came out. He needs a title. They said, I put my hand through the fourth wall and dragged out Me, You, and the Canoe. Because I had it had something, Me, You, the Girl, and a Swirl of Ice Cream or something. Let's finish this article and move on. Okay, we're inextricably connected. Your heartbeat's connected to cloud-based, something like that. This would, of course, be a far cry from the kind of content and world that the experts are talking about in this report. That is understandable, and why forecasting is really about the present. The hardest thing to imagine about the future is we are not in it in some way we recognize. This is a very, very good sentence and thought. Listen, again, the hardest thing to imagine about the future is that we are not in it in some way we recognize. We don't know. We could predict and we could be wrong. Again, here we come down to percentages. How much were we right? How much are we right when we do predict these things? We don't know because we're not there. And when we're there, it's the present, and we go, this is now the future. This is the time I was thinking about back then. And it's totally different. And this is, as I understand it, the state of neurosis. Because during the time you're thinking about it, you're having all these feelings, but you don't know because you're not there. You can't imagine the future because you're not in it. In some way you recognize. Chinese hackers pursue key data on U.S. workers. Huh? It's not clear how the hackers penetrated the systems of the Office of Personnel Management. This goes on and on and on. Amazon sued over billing. Okay, that's different. More in technology. Germany demands top U.S. intelligence officer be expelled for looking into Mrs. Germany president's thing. I don't know. All this stuff. Oh, that's top news. That doesn't have, go to the technology section. If I just click this and go to the technology section, can you imagine the stuff that's on here? Samsung child labor proves resilient despite a pledge by Samsung. So Samsung has child labor in other countries. That's the other thing. You know, there was that whole thing about Microsoft making all that money, and then they make a lot of this stuff overseas, and they use... They don't have union people. They don't have people they treat well. They have kids. Well, you know, they gotta help these people after work because there's billions of them, I guess. I don't know. Urban legends told online. Here you go. How about this one? Who's this guy? Let's tell you his name here. Farhad Manjoo. That's J-O-O. In early June, two 12-year-old girls in Wisconsin were charged with attempted murder in the attack on a third girl, a classmate who they invited for a sleepover. Prosecutors said the girls lured their victim into playing a game of hide-and-seek in the woods. When in the woods, the prosecutors say they attacked her with a knife, stabbing her 19 times. This is a job I wouldn't want. What would that be? I'm the guy in the forensic team. All right, now count the stab wounds. Yeah. Let's get, hey, Cotola, come over here. Count the stab wounds. There's one, two, three. I mean, wow, I don't want that job. Who likes that job? Who would take that job? Who would study to have that job? And how much does it pay? The victim was discovered by a bicyclist and rushed to the hospital. She said to be recovering from her injuries. 19 times she's stabbed and she's okay. The story made national headlines for both brutality of the crime and the unusual motive cited by the prosecutors. According to a criminal complaint, the two girls told the police that they had been planning the attack for months. They bore no animus toward their victim. Instead, the girls said they had tried to kill their classmate to impress a shadowy villain who haunted the woods. They called him Slender Man, or Slender for short. Okay, I see. This is all about urban legends. I don't know about this. This is in the technology section because it says online. Slender Man is a horror figure for your selfie age. You can think of him as a web-based, crowd-sourced urban legend. He was born in 2009 as a part of a Photoshop contest on the web forum called Something Awful. From there, Slender Man stories, videos, and pictures, all fictional, began to spread online. In many of them, he's pictured as a disproportionately tall, skinny man dressed in a dark suit who often stands in the background, silently stalking his victims. Today, you can find shards of the Slender Man myth across the web. There's a place called Creepypasta Wiki. Okay? You want to write this down? Creepy, C-R-E-E-P-Y-P-A-S-T-A. Next word, wiki, like in, Wikipedia. A popular forum where people work together to create spooky stories. Oh, this is not, okay. And this, according to prosecutors, the girls first discovered Slender Man on the Creepypasta Wiki. And I shouldn't be laughing. And what they saw there convinced them that he was real. Maybe I'm wrong. Well, these are kids, so when we talk about the emails, then people think this is real, and there are people out there who go, oh my goodness, this person in Syria has $2 million in U.S. funds and can't get out of the country. Half of it to any one of the rebels, and they'll let you out. So that's a cool million or a hot million. Okay, so this is a man, I never heard about this. This poor girl who was stabbed because, hi. Now there's a place, according to this, online crowdsourced fiction, like the stories on the Creepypasta Wiki, is the subject of increasing study in literature and mass media academic circles. Slender Man. I never heard about any of this stuff. There's a drawing of him here, too, on this page. I'm looking for one. Is there a website? This is a long story. No, there's not even a website. But we could email Farhad. Slender Man is a scary fellow. Wow. Sloshed Train. God, all these names. Okay, urban legends that are told online in any one of these forums. Kids. No, see, I don't know if kids are listening. Come on. It's not to say that this stuff wouldn't happen. Can't totally blame the internet. Only the fact that the internet now makes the information more available to more people. And there were urban legends when I was growing up in Brooklyn. I've talked about many of them here. And there are urban legends in various local. See, all the internet did was take all the little things that were local, whatever damage they did locally, were there. All this stuff existed. The internet just became a theater, and now the bad stuff can be displayed and performed in the theater, and it gets to more people. It's not like any of this stuff is new or created because of the internet. Slender Man could have been created by kids out there anywhere. You can't blame the internet. The internet is just displaying what's already there. Not people who dislike pornography have ways of not, you know, of making sure people don't, kids don't see it, or whatever it is you want. But the point is that the internet didn't create pornography. The internet didn't create spying. It didn't, none of this stuff. It didn't create identity theft. It didn't create stealing. It didn't create crime. It doesn't create these crimes. People aren't even as smart as that. Now, the ones, the real internet or cyber crime, are the people who know how to manipulate and hack. People who know how to manipulate the bytes and the language of the internet. And they can break through a wall and go to someone's private place. And even that is, in a sense, like the guys who mastered open up when everybody kept things in safes. The safe cracker. They're just technological safe crackers. The internet did not create, invent is the better word, any of this stuff. It's just another place, and a place that reaches farther out in numbers. So be careful. I'm going to say, be careful. I think my mother just came into my head. Be careful. Be careful. You know, it's good advice in general. It doesn't matter whether you have, you know what? Think about texting driving. You want to say that's with these contraptions now? Yeah, people are dumb. You know, people were dying for not paying attention to driving before this. People, they said, don't drink and drive. Were there accidents? Yes, there were accidents. People who don't drink have accidents. So you can't totally blame drinking. These are all pieces of the pie. Your Honor, I stand and defend. I didn't know I was going to again wind up defending the internet, but that's what I've been doing all along. And I think these guys at Pew, if I was there and talking to these guys, I'd say, you know, here's what I've been saying from the beginning. There's nothing can stop the information highway, the super information highway. Nothing can stop the free flow of sharing information. And after all of this that we're talking, where have we come? We've come this far. Now there's more criminals. There's more corruption. There's more everything, because there's more. We can reach more people. But it's not new. It's the same old elements of human nature taking their forms of good and evil or whatever and doing what they do. You're not going to stop it. And I don't even think you're going to stop creativity no matter what they do. Listen, creative people don't sit back and go, oh, I did everything I could now do creatively. I'm done. No, there's more. There's always more. When I'm sitting here and telling you about these books, I will never live long enough to be able to write these books. I know that. But can I be creative enough? I'm coming up with titles and things. I'm owing it all the time. This is what creative people do. And even not, if you're not necessarily a quote unquote artist, unquote, quote, wherever you want to put the quotes, doesn't matter. If you're just a creative person and you manufacture ideas and concepts and expressions, there'll be more. There's always more. You make more. You don't stop. That's it. I'm done. That's the only thing I could ever do. Songwriters are songwriters. They write songs, not one song. Authors write books or stories and more words and more paragraphs and more ideas. They don't stop. That's why it's ridiculous to think everybody has a book in them. Everybody has one book in them, right? Oh, I wrote that one book and that's it. I'm done. I can't. But if you could write one book, you're going to write another book. Even if it's similar to that book. It's another book. And no one can just write one book, okay? Maybe one book that sells a lot and then the other books don't. That's different. That's commercial. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. The internet is not responsible for any of this stuff. And all the new crimes are just the technological, the real, real crimes that are negative and hurt are the ones with the guys, I don't want to call them nerds, I don't know what to call them, the super brains, the super technical guys. I don't even have words for them, I don't even have names for these people and gals and guys. The cartels of corrupting cyber thing. It's not even cyber, it's the language. And what do? They do the basics. They steal, they plunder, they rape. They do all the stuff, they do it, but they can do it. You can't do it. You can't do it unless you know and have studied that stuff. So there, my name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And I feel like we have come from the beginning to the end, from building the fan to the dark, deep regions of predictions that everything is going to hell, to what? Right back where we are, in touch with one another. Because why? Because I'll tell you why. Because I'll tell you why. Because we, this is what we do. And it's because we're here and you're listening to and we're talking about this. CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. That's when we'll find out sometime. And go to my Facebook page where I always put the stuff up there. And you'll find out when it's going to be on. When it's going to be on. What's going to be on? I mean content. Because then you'll know that we're going to do that. In the meantime, in between time, we're out of time. So don't, you can email me at fcotolo@yahoo.com. I'll always write back to you. Go get my books. Go do all that stuff. And then be here next time. And go to cotolochronicles.blogspot.com to see all the places where you can hear the show again as they play it. And Juice Talk Radio, where you can get downloaded eventually. And forculture.com. Go read that darn thing because it's great. And you could put it on your phone or anything you want to do. What else? Everything else. Everything else. Hey, and do this if you got Twitter, @DailyMeds, and that's MEDZ. Want to have some fun every day? A brand new, wonderful thing for you to think about or not, and pass on. @DailyMeds, MEDZ. Please, we need followers, not to make money, but because every day there's something different we need to express, and you'll just get it, and it's okay. You don't like it, you don't look at it. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located at any given time. I'll be leaving you now. Don't worry, everyone. Signing, don't worry. Don't worry. Even though there's a palpable sense of dread, I'll leave you now. I have nothing more to say.
到冰球，小村到大市，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心，是 Cotolo Chronicles。